She's a three-time national squash champion and ranked number 35 in the world. But Alex Fuller has largely had to make it on her own overseas, taking the plunge to move abroad and improve her squash by taking on the world's best on a regular basis. Now, with COVID-19 putting a spanner in the works, she's back in Cape Town and working as a fitness coach.
It was a slight COVID-19 plan. I was back in Ireland from January until March, playing some tournaments overseas and that, and then came back and then to try and renew visas and all that kind of thing, and then lockdown happened unexpectedly. So yeah, so the whole process has just been like a little bit on a backlog. But yeah, we're going to hopefully start processing a few more things now.
I was going to say, what has been the impact of COVID-19, firstly, on your squash season and the squash calendar as a whole from a PSA point of view?
So I didn't get to finish the season last year. I missed the whole of May and part of April. So that's impacted, and those tournaments have obviously been postponed until next year. And then our PSA off-season is from May until August. So I didn't have any tournaments around that time anyway, so it's actually been okay in terms of that. And then, obviously, so then the African season starts now, or it started in like September, October, and we've got that off to a good start, and obviously nationals being able to be held. All in all, like, it hasn't been too bad, I guess, but like, yeah, just tournaments haven't been able to play many since March.
And now, what does the next few months look like? I mean, are they from a local South African point of view, and from a PSA international point of view, what does the next 6 months to a year look like? Do you know yet, or are you still waiting to see what the impact of COVID will be?
Yeah, it's been difficult to plan like so far in advance now. It's basically just like trying to see what the next month brings and what's going to happen with COVID and lockdown and what things are able to like take place and whatever. So nationals obviously happened. We were unable to do the ASA Open and all that as well. PSA-wise, I've got no more tournaments until there's even not much on the calendar for January. So I think countries are struggling to get sponsors and put in for certain tournaments, not knowing if they can actually be held on those specific dates, which suits the club or the sponsors or wherever it's been held. I think tournaments will probably only resume from like February or March, PSA-wise.
So your world ranking's up to 35. Am I right in saying that's the highest you've been? I mean, if that is the case, it must be incredibly frustrating for you to have reached the highest that you've gone so far, not to sort of be stuck in limbo.
Yeah, so obviously being based in Ireland was a game changer in terms of the exposure and the accessibility and all that to tournaments and traveling and how much easier it is and everything. So I was really trying to climb the ranks and keep my ranking up, play more tournaments, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, in terms of that, it's definitely been impacted. And I'm kind of just hoping that I'm going to hold my ranking and not drop too much. And then, hopefully try and climb when I can.
And when did that mindset arrive, Alex, that you had to leave South Africa if you're going to make a proper full go of it? And what did you go through to thinking, right, I need to go and base myself overseas if I really want to take this seriously and get as high in the world as possible?
It's definitely been something that I've considered for many years. I've travelled, I've played on the tour from South Africa for 6 years, and it's tough. I mean, it's long travelling hours, financially it's not viable at all. It was basically my boyfriend and I, we made the decision to be based in Ireland, and it's obviously much easier to do it with somebody else. So we both supported each other in making the move and doing it, and yeah, we never looked back. It was really, really good for both of our careers.
And is he working over there? Is he acting as sort of support staff to yourself?
He's a cricketer, so he wrote us a help that he got a cricket contract, which meant that like money was coming in from his side as well, and then money was coming from my side. So we had a dual income of two.
And what is that? What does that PSA season look like, Alex? From a number of tournaments point of view, you're obviously now you're nice and centrally based. What is a full season? You know, if you forget about COVID, what does a full season on the women's international tour look like?
So for me, I try and play between 10 and 12 tournaments in a year. How the ranking system has changed a bit now, they don't take your average points and work out a divisor to get your ranking. It's now an accumulative of the best 9 tournaments, I think, point. So basically, if I play too many and I have like bad scores, that actually won't impact my ranking. It'll always take my best 8. So that's good. So, I mean, sometimes you can play for the money rather than have to worry about the points all the time and have to accumulate, like, think about where you need to finish up in the draw just to meet your average. You can kind of just play freely and hopefully you do well.
And, I mean, were you able to see the results once you spent a prolonged period in Ireland based overseas? I mean, what was kind of the key to kicking on and seeing an improvement? And obviously in the results meant the improvement in the world ranking. Was it being based there and consistently playing top-level squash week in and week out?
Yes, and also I started playing PSL, so I was playing league in England, so I was exposed to like a lot more like matches, not just tournaments, it was league matches. I was basically just being able to freely travel and everything not being like an absolute hassle and like a long duration of a trip. It was just easier. It was painless, it was pain-free, it was like a breeze. And I think, going to a tournament then didn't seem like as much of a schlep, from here. And I was probably like different mindset. I had fresh new blood, had like different help. So just like different perspectives and that kind of thing really helped. I must say the Irish were super supportive and they were so accommodating to every single thing that I did. And it was crazy to know that I had like a massive support team in Ireland as well when I was only there for a year, So that also made like a massive difference. It was just like everyone was just behind me and it just felt like really good.
I mean, it's the Irish hospitality, it's no surprise to hear, but it's also unfortunately a sad indictment on South African sports if you look at perhaps from a SASCOC point of view, from a support point of view, that athletes like yourselves in so-called smaller sports really, have to battle to and forge their own way and fund their own way to go and make it overseas. I mean, do you feel like there's a lack of support back in South Africa for what you're trying to achieve as South Africa's top squash player?
I definitely think there is, that lack of support. I don't know if it's got to do with the resources that we're lacking as SA Squash or what the story is, but there's definitely, the structure overseas is great. You kind of almost, you're forced to work and make a living somehow as well, Your tournaments, the money that you make from the tournaments, half of it goes towards your profits and half goes towards your expenses and not everything towards your expenses, So you can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, but traveling from South Africa is financially the small fiber as a professional squash player.
And what is the message from Squash SA? Is it kind of, see you, good luck, and we'll follow your progress sort of thing?
Yeah, they've always been very supportive of me. Through email a lot and they obviously follow my... if I'm just unable to assist.
I see you're a qualified personal trainer. So do you actually work as a personal trainer in Ireland or are you full-time squash player?
In Ireland, I was coaching some of the Irish juniors. I got involved with the whole junior setup. I was managing and coaching some of their tours, which was amazing. I got to meet a whole lot of people. I got to make a bit of a name for myself there. And they included me so much. They wanted me to be on board. And so that was amazing. I've only started practicing personal training since I've been back in Cape Town. So I've been working at a gym at Greenpoint for Oxygen and Functional Fitness. But in Ireland, I wasn't doing any personal training. I was just coaching, playing, and then playing league again.
You've been encouraged by perhaps, as an example in the form of Natalie Granger, who did represent South Africa, but also had to ultimately go overseas to make a name, and ultimately ended up as a world number one playing for the United States. Is she someone that perhaps you look up to as someone with strong South African ties that went overseas and made it, like you're attempting to do?
Yeah, exactly. We've had a few of our top men that have done the same thing. Steve Coppinger, Sean LaRue, Clinton Liu, they all went overseas, and it was the only way that they could succeed. So. These are all people that we should all be chatting to about these kind of moves. I think it's a great thing to do as just individually as a person to grow and to expand. That the world is so small, but I think it's a great move to do for yourself, to do for the sport. And it's definitely helps having those kind of people. The people that have all succeeded. yeah, from that environment. So yeah, I think it's a great inspiration to live.
Let's talk about the quality of South African squash at the moment, Alex, because, I mean, the Nationals took place just a few weeks ago, and there's no doubt that something that didn't escape me was that you had a 48-year-old Rodney Durbach in the quarterfinals or the semifinals of the men's. You had Sam Herbert and Farris Stern in the quarterfinals of the women's. I mean, those are people that are all well into their 40s. Is there a concern? I mean, you're 27. I mean, is there a concern there isn't a pipeline of young South African squash talent coming through if you've got the likes of those golden oldies still competing at national level?
Definitely. I think it's sad. It saddens me, the fact that squash is not pushed in the schools. Our depth at the moment is just not what it used to be, you know. I don't know if it's got to do with school level, if it's the gap between leaving school and wanting to go pro. There's no structure in place for people to be pushing to go pro at university levels. There's no academies, there's no real support actually from not just SA Squash, from the whole structures even below, you know, from schools to universities to clubs and so forth. Compared to anywhere in the UK, they've got main coaches there, they run academies, they run group sessions, they're very successful. And it's just, I just think we've kind of missed the boat in something in terms of pushing squash as a sport. I think it's one of the best sports that any person can play. There's just not enough young talent coming through to push these golden oldies, as you say, out. So they're standing their ground and competing.
I suppose there's no silver bullet to solving the issue, but I mean, what do you think some of the key elements are? You mentioned pushing it at school, and I mean, I remember when we were at school. Fortunately, we were exposed to squash. Do you think there's been a change in what kids are now exposed to? You know, from a sport, from an activity point of view, it's kind of almost been diluted. There isn't a focus, or perhaps on certain sports that have incredible benefits like squash.
I think a lot of the schools are pushing the main sports like cricket, rugby, football, per se. And I was actually just speaking to one of the guys at the gym, and he said that his son would love to play squash, but they've pushed cricket and rugby way more. So it's just sad, because he would have also loved to play squash, but they just didn't give him that extra boost.
Obviously difficult to make a living out of squash. You've got your personal training qualification. I mean, is that something that you see yourself doing post-playing career?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I'm like a fitness fanatic. I love exercising, as anybody who knows me well will know. So definitely something that I wanted to obviously expand in. I think it's also very knowledgeable as a professional sports person to also have the insight of how to train, how your body works properly, recovery, and so forth. So I definitely want to stay within this industry after squash. Which is why I studied it while I was playing. I mean, we have a lot of spare time as well while we're playing, if you're not working as well. Obviously, while you're playing tournaments, and I've got a lot of downtime, so I thought I may as well keep myself busy and expand my knowledge. So definitely something that I've looked into post-squash, that I will stick in this kind of environment.
For the moment, you're still enjoying, obviously, the travel. Should you be able to get overseas again and base yourself in Ireland? You've obviously seen some amazing European cities. Is that something that you'd love to do more of as well, the international travel?
Yes, I'd love to do a lot more international travel with art by squash rackets, plan a few more holidays and things like that. Most of our tournaments are actually based in the States, Egypt, a couple in the UK, and Asia, Hong Kong area. So we don't have very many within Europe. The guys' tours, it's very expensive. They've got loads of cool venues and that kind of thing. Definitely got a lot of faces to sort of pop up this.
So it can't all be work and no play. I mean, you mentioned you're a fitness nut, but you can't run and play squash all day and night. So what are some of the other things when you've got downtime and you're not studying at Alex Fuller likes to do?
Anything that involves being out and about and active. I love going to the beach. I'm a complete beach bum. I love going to markets, I love seeing my friends, we go to wine farms, we go for walks, just want to be outdoors all the time. I can't sit on my bum for too long.
Now, how has that played out in cold and wet Ireland? I would imagine that would have been quite a challenge for besides the 3 days of summer they get every year.
Just tough. It was really tough. Last year I wore shorts once the whole year, and I counted on my fingers because it was only once. It was a struggle because I suck at cold weather. So, but you kind of like force yourself. At one stage, it was like a month or two after living there, and I walked outside. I was like, it actually isn't too bad. It's quite pleasant. And I looked at my watch at the weather, and it was like 8 degrees. I was like, no way. I can't believe I'd ever think I would ever say that. You just kind of have to adapt. There's a lot of beautiful walks and like really cool things to do within Ireland. So, I just made the most of it with gloves and beanies and scarves.
Ireland's also legendary for its pub culture and pints of Guinness. So did you and your boyfriend sample some of that as well, I would imagine?
Yes, definitely, but I can't stomach too many Guinnesses.
So do the Irish squash players play hard and party hard? Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I'd say the cricket players party harder. But the squash players definitely play hard. I'd say party hard, actually.
So what's the ultimate goal, Alex, from a playing point of view? Where do you're 27 now, you're the highest ranking you've been in the world, you're 30, ranked 35 in the world. Give me a kind of sense of your six month to a year and the next 5 years as you try and get the most out of your career. What are your goals?
I mean, definitely trying to, try and crack into that top 10 in the world would be like an ultimate goal, unfortunately, with the situation that I've been in, a lot of the time I'm just playing year on because financially I'm not always sure that I can commit myself fully to like maybe a 3-year plan, and that all goes down to finances. So as long as I can make a decent living out of playing and supplementing that income with working in some way, shape or form, then I can keep going. But I'm 27, I could say, like, I'm also wanting to, have that different things in life that I want to start ticking off as well, it all comes down to finances. If I'm not able to earn a decent living off squash, not able to live a comfortable life, then we'll see. So I've actually been enjoying having like a year on approach, because I give it a full go for a year and then be like, cool, I'm going to do it again for another year, so as long as my finances are in order, I can keep going.
That is quite an interesting take from a pro squash player, but you can understand why. With little in the way of support, you can see why this fitness nut is taking it year by year as she seeks to get the most out of her squash, even if that means the odd pint of Guinness in cold and wet Ireland.